Now it's time to be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist, Joey Bia's research grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B's Outdoor Adventure. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Title of the show, something I will love to discuss because, hey, I am the environmental scientist. The title of the show is Stream Flow and Flooding. And what I want you to do is to turn back the clocks, probably before all of you were born, to your town and think about what your town is like. In the local Barnes & Noble, they have all the towns around there, the books, and the books are pictorial, basically, and they're showing photos. So think about, obviously, there were less homes. The roads were either dirt, cobblestone, some were gravel. I mean, if it was a main road, it was cobble, maybe. There were farmlands, and just so you know that I am speaking as I'm describing all of this. I grew up in the Northeast, and I'm thinking about the town that I was raised in. And I know that because when my grandparents had come here from Italy, they used to work on a goat farm, and it was called Nanny Goat Hill, that part of town. So towns were very much different. Again, you didn't have shopping centers. The center of town literally was, and I know this for a fact because I lived very close to it, the center of town was actually, because all centers of towns actually were near railroads. So there was a general store and a boarding house, and the boarding house is still there next to the railroad. So I know exactly, so, you know, I've gone through the pictorial book and went back and going, so why am I discussing all of this? Because when we look at flooding today, because of so many of the changes that we've had in past years, when I say past years, I'm going back 100 years. And now you add into that climate change, because hey, some of you around the world, and we have international listeners, some of you around the world are seeing some tremendous amounts of flooding going on in your region. And sad to say, they will continue to happen if we don't do anything about climate change. So let's go into the three main reasons why we have flooding, and then I'll talk to you a little bit about stream flow as well. And this show is brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or in one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. So the three main reasons we have flooding. The first one is called deforestation. Think about this. If you're planting forest, that's a good thing. Well, we are cutting down trees. And when you think about in towns, we are cutting down trees at an alarming rate. And you know, it's funny. There are many towns now that are getting many deer and fox and turkey in your town. You go, well, how is that happening? Well, if we're cutting down areas that were their habitats, you take away, and I'm the guy who's always talking about to protect and preserve habitats. Well, when you're cutting down habitats, animals get pushed forward. Well, let's figure out, well, why would cutting down trees cause flooding? Now, a tree takes in water through the root system. Hey, you all know that. Well, the tree is going to have to release some of that water sooner or later. So think about during heavy rain. So forget about a flooding situation, just a heavy rain. The tree roots taking all this water in. Well, if you had too much water, you know you'd go to the potty. Well, the tree's got to say, hey, how do I get rid of it? Well, the water will actually go as the liquid all the way up to the leaves, and it gets released into the atmosphere as a gas, this process called transpiration. Well, think about a large oak tree, and I'll just use a pin oak, Quercus palustris, to all you science guys out there. Well, think about how much water could it transpirate, let it, watch this, leave from the leaves as it's, you know, so it's got to get rid of it. Watch this number. One large pin oak would transpirate 100 gallons of water an hour. So you think about it, you got a couple of oak trees around your house, and you're actually getting rid of 100 gallons of water that would go into the ground that possibly can go into your basement and all that. And now you cut down a few oak trees. Well, now where is that water going? It can't go back into the atmosphere. So cutting down trees does cause flooding. And hey, in some places we are cutting down large scale, you know, woodlands, forests, putting in strip malls, which I'm sure you know our country needs another strip mall. And where I grew up, somewhere near It was Giant Stadium. Now it's MetLife Stadium. They're trying to put in this major mall, just what the world needs. By the way, sorry. Obviously, you could tell that I'm not a mall guy. Now, the next thing that causes flooding are, I'll give you the big word, then I'll explain what it is, impervious surfaces, which are solid surfaces. Going back to 100 years ago, you didn't have paved roadways, you didn't have paved driveways, you didn't have parking lots. So now understand this when I go to that mall so you'd understand this. Well, in solid surfaces. That mall, water used to get into the ground right there. That parking lot, think about the size of a parking lot for a mall. Water used to get into the ground there. It can no longer get into the ground. And if it can't get in the ground, it's going to run along the top of the ground, the surface. So tremendous amounts of water are now sitting on top that used to penetrate, and the word we use is percolate, used to percolate into the ground at that point in time. So the third thing is called lack of bank storage. And right away, when I use the word bank, you're thinking about, okay, money and bank storage. Do I put money in the bank? Well, it's sort of like that, except we're talking about the banks of a stream. Well, what had happened was, and I'll give you an example of something that had happened in my town when I was growing up. Well, we were getting a little bit of flooding here and there again because building was going on. People started to build homes, taking away some of the woodland around our properties and all. And they said, okay, we got flooding on these streams, so let's put solid walls up on the sides of the streams. So this way we can build them taller, and as we build them taller, we can collect more water. And actually, in a short section of the stream, they even put a cement bottom on the stream. Well, watch this one. All of a sudden, the water was going higher over the higher built walls and causing more flooding. And you're going, how? Well, you see, what happens is when it rains heavily, and this is a natural process, water actually goes into the sides of the banks of rivers, streams, creeks, and it slowly will let it out over the next day. So think about a sponge. You have that idea, the sides of a stream are acting like sponges and taking in some water. And then if you were to slowly over the next couple of days squeeze the sponges, and the water will slowly go into the streams and then downstream. Well, what's happening right now is because we have lack of bank storage, we're having more flooding. Well, some towns, and you may have seen this as you travel around the country, a cool name, it's called riprap. And riprap actually, it looks like steel cages with rocks. So what they're trying to do is to prevent erosion, they're having the rocks there, and to prevent the rocks from getting washed in, they have steel, and it's like chain link fence really is actually what it is. And so we're allowing to get a little bit more bank storage. Now watch this bank storage number. And I'm talking about an average size stream. An average size stream, decent, pretty heavy rainstorm, can take in 10 million gallons of water during the peak flooding time, towards the peak heavy rain time. 10 million. So after the storm, and it's now the next day and the next day, and probably into the third and fourth day, it is slowly allowing that water to leave. Now, I give you, that's the causes of flooding, but I said this show also was going to talk about stream flow too. So now I'm going to talk to you about, as scientists, we can actually see, I'd say measure, because you can't always, but I'll show you in one instance where you really can see it. The speed of water, which is different on whether it's a straight stream going straight along or a curved stream. And in a straight stream, the very center of the stream down maybe a foot or so is called Vmax. And V stands for velocity, and obviously max is maximum. And that is the fastest moving water. And you can actually see more sediment inside that water. I mean, you'd have to take a close look at it, but you can see that. And I always joke with people, and I said, all right, if you and I are going to race our kayaks, I would put my kayak in a straight part of a stream in the very center, and I would win the race. And not because I'm a better kayaker or a stronger kayaker, it's because I happen to be in, and it's not by much, but some faster moving water. Now let's go to the curve stream. And a curve stream, it can either curve to the right or the left, and that's important. So let's talk one that when I say it curves to the right, it bends around. So think about your right arm bending around. Well, there is two sides to that stream. There's an inner side to the curve. We call that V-min, minimum velocity, and V Max, maximum velocity. And I'm going to tell you, you go the next time it's raining heavy, be careful. And hey, I really do mean this. You need to be safe near water. My father says the only two things that you're not going to win against is weather and water. So you just need to be safe. That's when you're out there. But if you look at that V Max side, you will actually see the water moving faster there, which then means after the storm, you come back, the water's receded. There is more erosion going on there. And when you look at the V Min side of the stream, you will actually see deposition. There'll be a deposit of sediments that are put down there. So I'm going to let you know that, you know, it's the stream flow is part of it. It's not really causing the flooding, but there are effects of flooding that affects, hey, even our local streams. So it doesn't matter whether you have this little creek that passes through your property, a stream, or you happen to live near a river, you can actually see all of those. So now that we know the causes of flooding, what can we do about it? Because as Americans, it is our job to protect and preserve, and we're supposed to be good stewards of the land. So let us get out there together and make a difference. Until next time, enjoy life's adventures. You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybee.tv. That's joeybee.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free, and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures.